Welcome to Give Him Hell, Bring Him. Jeff, I think we have officially made it.
We've either made it or we are way, way, way in over our heads.
Which that's, if you don't feel like that, you're living life wrong, right? Like you either got to feel, you know, and maybe there's a little bit of that is what they call it, imposter syndrome, right? Or, you know, well, you got to fake it till you make it, which everyone is good at faking it till you make it, because that's what you do when you try to go to sleep every night. You go to sleep by pretending to be asleep, and then eventually you actually fall asleep. So don't tell yourself you can't fake it till you make it, because you do it every single day.
Sleep is weird.
But this week I got a LinkedIn request, and it kind of looked a little spammy because it was like, this is a way too professional of a headshot. And it's like, I have zero connection to this person. This is kind of weird. And then I got an email, and it turns out it was an attorney representing a sports agency. And we got a cease and desist letter because of some shirts that were at one point available under the Give 'Em Hell, Bring 'Em umbrella branding and our signature clothing line, if you will. So I don't know. Are we way over our heads? And this is going to be a long, drawn out legal battle where we turn and beg for the collective pro bono help of Twitter lawyers everywhere, or do we just delete the shirts and move on with our lives because we don't have time for that?
Well, let me just, I want to read a couple of excerpts from, I mean, we won't read initially this week. I said I wanted to read the whole thing. We won't.
It's like five pages long.
It's like two. I mean, but it feels like five when you're reading it. There's no question.
It's single spaced, right? Single space doesn't count.
Yeah, you're right. But I'm going to read a couple of paragraphs here, and it's about to get a little lengthy, a little wordy. So bear with me, folks. In this, it says, I believe that you, this is addressed to you, Garrett, to Mr. McClintock. I believe that you are the owner and or operator of Give 'Em Hell, Bring 'Em, GEHB is in parentheses. And I just sidetrack. I love it. I love that some legal attorney, whether this was a paralegal or the actual lawyer, there was time spent at some big shot law firm typing out GEHB and Give 'Em Hell, Bring 'Em. I mean, I love it. And GEHB is mentioned several times throughout the rest of the cease and desist. So I enjoy that. It has come to our attention that GEHB has been offering for sale on your website, giveemhellbrigham.com, apparel, including t-shirts, containing the name of WMEIMG client Zach Wilson. The creation and sale of these apparel designs and the use of Mr. Wilson's name was and is not authorized by Mr. Wilson or WMEIMG for any use, including commercial, non-commercial usage by you and or any of your affiliates. Now, I mean, this isn't going to hold up in court, but his mom did know about our Zach MF Wilson shirt. She did support the Zach MF Wilson shirt.
She was our best affiliate marketer. We sold like 10 of them within an hour of her posting it to her Instagram story, which is now private. She took her account private this week,
which was probably
smart.
There were many... many Zach MF Wilson shirts that have been shipped to the Draper, Utah area. And I have no connection to Draper, Utah. That all came by way of affiliate marketing via the Wilson family. So that sort of feels like it was an authorized use, but I mean, I guess it's not, but okay. We continue. Your sale and promotion of the apparel using Mr. Wilson's name, likeness, and image violates various publicity provisions of U.S. laws, which prohibit the infringement of a person's right to publicity and right to control the use of his name and likeness for, among other things, commercial purposes. In addition, your use to display Mr. Wilson's name on the apparel, your website, and social media implies a false endorsement and false association between you and Mr. Wilson and or WMEIMG. Mr. Wilson is a well-recognized and well-represented football star who was just selected as the second overall pick in the NFL draft, and this false association is highly likely to injure his reputation and brand. Because of this, you face significant liability for your continued promotion of the apparel using Mr. Wilson's name and likeness. To be clear, neither Mr. Wilson nor WMEIMG has authorized the sale or promotion of the apparel and are not seeking a portion of any proceeds generated by the sale of such. Mr. Wilson instead insists that you immediately remove the apparel from the items you offer for sale on your website, givehimhellbrigham.com, and from social media web pages and at any physical retail locations.
Here's the thing.
I have so little confidence that Zach Wilson knows that that website exists.
He might, just because his mom may have shown him and be like, hey, did you see these shirts? And so, but he may not know the shirt exists, but may not know that their website exists.
Yeah. But this came from his agency, not him. Right.
But his agency spent more money on this suit, having her write up the letter and send it to me, than we made from the entirety of
without question
the thing. And I mean, I'm just saying, Zach could have DM'd us and said, hey, agency, like, can we take this down? Like, you know, it's whatever, a trademark, like trying to protect my brand, whatever. It's like, I respect the hustle. Okay, yeah, that's fine. Like, you know, just you've now have multiple $100,000+ cars at your disposal. Like, just take me, we'll just take us for a spin in one and we'll call it even. Right. And it was very overboard. I know they got to do it up in language, like super, all this flowery language. They could have just said, like, he, now that he is marketing himself, whatever, you know. And it's in terms of his family or him endorsing it, I think we do have the legal case that we can keep selling our 83 shirts because the Elk has been endorsed fully. And that is a brand that we started. And I think actually we may have legal ownership to the trademark of the 83 Elk image and likeness, specifically rated to the Elk itself.
If we really want to get nitpicky here, the Zach MF Wilson shirt, like, clearly Zach Wilson probably can't use that. But the ZACH 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 shirt, maybe we were talking about Zach Bennett. You know, it's just a black shirt, green writing. Like, I get it, but also I don't really get it. Now, I mean, did we violate some name, image, likeness laws? Yeah, probably. But again, we weren't hiding anything. And one, I think it's important to note, and we've been very transparent about this from the beginning, we are not generating a profit on these shirts. Like, there have been a couple where people order multiple things and we do get a profit.
Yeah,
but then there have been others where we lose money on the production of the shirt. Like, we are just producing it to make a shirt.
Right. And yeah, we don't, if you order one shirt, we break even. If you use a discount code, we are losing money.
Uh-huh.
If you order multiple shirts, we make like $1.50 per shirt.
Yeah. It's like, we're making nothing. And so, I don't know, man, like this felt a little unnecessary. And I have so much confidence that this wasn't actually Zach himself. This was his agency, because I think that if it was Zach himself, he probably would have saved the time and effort and just had one of his every family member who follows me on social media just send me a quick DM. It's like, hey man, just take it down.
Yeah.
I think that's what would have happened. I get it. Like, hey, he's big time now. This is kind of the nature of the beast. I am in no way upset. But here's what I think is interesting. And I had this thought earlier this week, and I don't think I brought it up to you. We do not have, unless there are the general lawyers of Twitter that want to do pro bono work, we don't have the legal capacity ourselves to handle something like this against some big shot law firm. I mean, WME is huge, right? Like, they represent Tom Brady's entertainment business. Like,
right.
They're a big deal. So they got clearly lawyers upon lawyers upon lawyers if we really, you know, if it were to ever get that far. And it won't, because we don't care. But this is what they had to do. This is what went through their mind. What we can do is read this letter. There's nothing prohibiting us from making this cease and desist letter a much, much bigger deal than it needs to be. we can mock it. We could put it on the airwaves of our show. I mean, if we really wanted to get wild, we could go to social media with it and be like, look at what just happened. As long as we comply with the request of this letter, everything else is fair game. There's no confidentiality with this. Like, we could make a big stink of this and be like, look at the assholes that are running this Zach Wilson enterprise. And maybe we'd be wrong. Maybe people would think that we're stupid. But have you seen what the New York Daily News is willing to make a story out of when it comes to Zach Wilson? If his mom says the word dick on her social media or on her Instagram stories, it becomes a column in the paper.
Which she was not wrong. You should all, as a parent, probably your number one goal should be try not to raise a bunch of dicks. Like, yeah, that's pretty good advice. That's totally a low fair. That's a low bar to clear with parenthood.
And also saying that Snapchat is for whores. I might have disagreed 5 or 6 years ago, but if you're still using Snapchat in 2021, there's a pretty good chance that we know your level of promiscuous behavior.
I don't know anybody that still uses Snapchat.
Right. Like, there's no reason to use it unless you're just using it to hook up and send nudes, right? I mean, I don't know. So, like, that's the risk that they took. And I think it's interesting because I don't know that we have the platform to really make a stink out of this. But we also, if we don't have the platform to make a stink out of this, then we certainly don't have the platform that it should be even a blip on their radar if a few shirts get sold that say Zach. So this agency, this law firm, whoever it was that decided this was going to be a big deal, they had to make that decision. Either we're a big enough deal that they need to put an end to it immediately, or we're not a big enough deal that we could make a public outcry. I think this is a strong arm, man. Like, I think that we're just going to cower down.
That's what how cease and desist. That's it's the fancy word for a strong arm.
But they also think that, like, we're going to just take it. We're going to get scared. We're going to delete it. But it's the intro to our show. And hell, it might be the intro to our show for a while. We're recording this late. It's 10:30 on a weeknight. I've had a real long day. So I'm a little bit grumpier today than I normally am. And if you were to ask me to make a commitment today, Garrett, I would commit to blowing this so far out of proportion just because I feel like it.
I think this ultimately was planned not by Zach Wilson or WME. I think this ultimately ties back to Gary Barta, and this is part of YAnon to tear down BYU fans everywhere.
I get it. I think that could be true. I won't dispute that.
I mean, there's no proof that that's not true. So I think that's how it works in 2021, right? Like, it's as long as you can't disprove it, then it must be true. So, I mean, I think that's it. But yes, yeah, so we did get a cease and desist, and you know, that it's just been a wild week. You know, it's here we are on a Wednesday. My daughter has been referring to me as Alan Jackson instead of dad all week, and my wife is Jimmy Buffett. So, and she is 2 years old and runs around singing the entire chorus of 5 o'clock somewhere. So I may be raising an alcoholic. I don't know, but it's just been a wild week.
It's been a weird week. There is some basketball news this week. So fortunately, there's something that can pull us out of this, in this introduction. And that is Tajon. Is it Tajon? Is it Tajon? Is it T. John? I don't know how to pronounce his first name.
I'm not sure either. But once I hear it, well, I guess I could go look up, find a
like
video,
a pronunciation guide, or
find a video of someone interviewing him.
Whether it's whatever it is, T. John Luca. I think it might be T. John. That seems to flow.
Yeah.
But maybe that's just because of T. John Caroma, and it makes sense in my head because we've said it before.
Right.
At any rate, he committed to BYU, and that's a big deal for BYU. Milwaukee graduate transfer who was formerly at Illinois, a true point guard. Like, he doesn't have the best outside shot, but he could facilitate. He could distribute. Like, BYU can run an offense through him. He reminds me a little bit of TJ Haas without the outside shot. Like that's kind of what I see when I watch Tijon, Tijon.
I just look at it. I think it is Tijon with Tijon. The French J.
Like, yeah, with a J.
Like Parmesan.
Okay. Tijon, but not Tijon. Tijon,
I think. And if that's wrong.
You know who's going to have a hell of a time with this is one Dave McCann.
Oh, it's going to be bad.
All due respect to brother McCann. This is going to be a nightmare.
Yeah. And it's going to be a struggle every time. No matter what it is, it will end up being Tijon, like Tijon Caroma. That's what it's going to be.
And I might be there with him, frankly. It's a different one. But Tijon Lucas, he committed to BYU over schools like DePaul and Utah and a few others who were in his top five. The big ones, though, were DePaul and Utah. But this is a big deal, right? I mean, this is he's going to start. I mean, he's going to walk into a starting position, whether or not Alex Barcelo comes back, which, like we've been saying for a couple of months, we're fully anticipating Alex Barcelo to come back. So a backcourt of Barcelo and Lucas, I think, is an upgrade over Barcelo and Brandon Averett. I think Averett and Lucas have a lot of the same attributes in terms of being, you know, able to score off the bounce, having an iffy outside shot. I think Lucas will benefit greatly from playing at BYU, where there's going to be a few other scorers and shooters around him. At Milwaukee, his usage rate was through the roof. I mean, he was the focal point of every defense and every defensive strategy. So coming at BYU, where there's guys like Barcelo and Lohner and Gideon George and others who could create their own shot, it'll help free things up for Lucas. So I do expect his outside shot to improve a little bit. But even if it doesn't, like, the guy can distribute, get to the basket, and that is what BYU just sorely missed last year. They didn't have anybody who could create their own.
My read on Tijon is that he was a two-time all-conference player in the Horizon, but when you're in the Horizon, it's one of those leagues. And, you know, it's like, you know, I've been to multiple Big South conference games. The Horizon is a similar level of play. You have like one, maybe two guys on the team. And because they're the best, everything gets fed through them. So it's like, it's hard to have a system. And it's like, you almost have to discount, especially like if you are a shooter, like if you're not a guy, like where, I guess kind of like a Brandon Averett, where he was more of a driver or slasher and would like create his own shot that you can get with it. But like, if you're a shooter and you have nothing else around you, like a lot of times it's just like, hey, get the ball to him and let him jack it up. Right. Like, and so you're taking a bunch of shots. So, and that's kind of even like we saw, if you look at Alex Barcelo's stats when he was at U of A, they weren't very good, but then he got into a system that gave him the place and taught him, and the staff taught him, look, this is where you shoot best from on the floor. We are going to put you in a position to where you are only taking the best shots for you, and to try to, you know, make things most efficient across the board versus, hey, just like, you know, go like you're playing in a schoolyard and he's our best guy, dish him the ball and let him jack it up, because that's our best hope. And so it's, you know, he kind of, you know, regressed a little bit, even percentage wise, he had a big dip, but like his sophomore year, he played 29 games and he, you know, shot almost 50%, but he's not a great 3-point shooter. But he, you know, the last 2 years he's averaged over 14 points a game and, you know, almost 6 assists and 4.5 boards a game. Like, that's very solid production at any level of college basketball. So I think he is someone who, being in the right system and having pieces around him and with more structure, will surprise above what he did previously, even though, I mean, I would think he probably ideal would be, he chips in the same number of points, but his field goal percentage goes up because he's got a better shot selection. So it's the same amount of production, but with fewer attempts, right? Just, he's going to become more efficient. I think that's what the staff thinks they can do with him. And that's why he was targeted.
Yeah, I agree. And I think it's a big addition for sure. Shores up the backcourt a little bit, and I don't think BYU's done, right? I mean, we know that they have been in the mix for a bunch of different transfers. It sounds like they are really honing in on on Both Gack out of Minnesota, now by way of Utah. He could be another productive scorer. I think he averaged 10, 11 points as a sophomore at Utah. Kind of fell out of the rotation a little bit at Minnesota last year, but he's proven that he can do it at a high level of college basketball. So that would be a big addition as well. BYU's one of a handful of teams who are after Gack. I mean, if BYU comes away out of this offseason with Lucas and Both, I think that's a coup, right? I mean, that's you look at who BYU lost. If you lose Harms and you lose Averett and you replace them with Gack and with Lucan, I think you're thrilled with that.
Yes, and I think Gack brings something. You know, he brings something that Harms never had. Like, obviously Harms is the defensive player of the year. He was a good player, but Gack is just very much, much more in the breed of a Gideon George type, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Where just the amount of athleticism that he has is off the charts. And so, I think if you can get him in there, it's like what it gives you in terms of flexibility and what you can do and how you can pressure things. I think ultimately it can become like, I think the roster can be deeper and it will be a better team than it was last year. Push come to shove.
I agree with that. It'll be good. And I mean, I know that BYU lost more than just Harms and Averett. They lost, Connor Harding, Colby Lee and Wyatt Lowell. All things considered, I don't think BYU is going to feel those absences as much.
No.
And if at all, frankly.
No, and this is something too, like we've kind of seen over the last couple of weeks of just like guy after guy after guy. And we're talking about this earlier today when we were talking about what we're going to do, kind of our agenda for the show, that there is a noticeable, there's a noticeable difference between the football team's approach and the basketball team's approach. And I think it kind of colors fans' opinions on how the staff is doing in terms of recruiting. And I don't think there's necessarily one is right and one is wrong. It just needs to be it needs to be understood in context because there's multiple moving pieces. So it's like we're in football, Kalani's like, they're going out and doing more due diligence and going out and, doing more due diligence. And you kind of like a guy before they get an offer is going to be pretty checked out. And they're going to know like if there's honor code issues or not. And if they're on board, whatever, where basketball has chosen to use offering more as almost like a marketing tool, especially in the portal of like, Mark Pope is trying to build the brand of right, the best locker room in America and build this brand of like, we'll take anybody, they can come in. We'll, doesn't matter if you showed up 2 weeks ago, you're part of the family, like we'll live in the portal, whatever. And so there's a lot of just hammer it, like every single guy, like how many guys have we offered in the last 2 weeks? And then a lot of them, and there's even more that they've talked to that were not even so public. And, I talked to a couple, I talked to someone on the staff about this and was like, about how many guys that they've gone off after. And a lot of them, it's like, yes, they get the publicity. It's like, oh, we offered this guy, we're talking to this guy, we met with them. And then they're not interested because obviously there's strings attached if you're walking into the Marriott Center to play in the Marriott Center. And so with that and knowing that, it's just a different strategy. So, to some, it may seem like, you look at football, it's like, oh, the offers are more deliberate because, and we're doing better and being kind of more choosy. Basketball, we're just kind of hoping we can't get anybody, but it's a lot of them. It's like, maybe they're not, they're not good fits. They offer them, they talk to them, they find out it's like, oh, this actually isn't going to work. There's grades issues, like whatever. And it's just different. It's a different approach to the same problem. And one isn't necessarily better than the other. They're just different.
Well, and it is different approaches, right? And even within the football team, you have different approaches depending on the situation. Darryl Funk is offering guy offensive linemen all the time right now on the football side. And some of them are guys that he has talked to for no longer than an hour, right? I mean, these are guys that he hardly knows at all. But if you're Coach Funk, you're playing catch up, right? I mean, you take a new job at BYU, even with a full year, you're behind on the recruiting game. You're at least a year behind the other schools who are recruiting these offensive linemen. So an offer at that point is almost like a qualifier. That if you don't have an offer out to a player, they're not even going to pick up the phone to talk to you. So BYU will extend, or Coach Funk will extend, a scholarship offer based on nothing but huddle film. And there is an important clarification there. Coaches, colleges, they have access to huddle film, not huddle highlights. Huddle film is the full game film. They see every rep, every play.
You don't get offered based on the highlights. You get offered based on how, like if you're an offensive lineman, you're getting offered based on how hard you're getting after it when your team is up 25 in the fourth quarter. That's
yeah. Yep. And so, I mean, Coach Funk will watch a couple of games and look at a guy's measurables and say, yeah, he fits, I think, the mold. We're going to go ahead and extend an offer. We saw that with Jalen Guerrero this last week. Jalen Guerrero is a graduate transfer out of New Mexico State. He ended up committing to Fresno State. He tweeted out his offer. I think we talked about this last week, but he tweeted out his offer from BYU, made a bunch of headlines, and BYU was going to get him. That offer came before any due diligence really had happened. After doing the due diligence, whether it was BYU or whether it was Guerrero himself, there was a decision made that, hey, this offer is no longer eligible. Like this, you can't come. It's not going to work out. They pulled the offer. And Guerrero went to the extent of deleting the tweet that said he ever had an offer to begin with. But that all happened in a matter of like 4 days.
Right. Like
college recruiting is not what people think it is. An offer does not necessarily mean that they want you, that a school wants you on their roster. And I know that sounds contradictory to what the term scholarship offer is, but that's just the reality of it. Sometimes a scholarship offer is what it takes to get into the door. And that's all that it is. They still don't know anything. People mock Utah beat writers or journalists or media guys, whatever, because they used to cover, or they used to throw out the term non-committable offer forever. And it sounded so stupid because if it's an offer, it's committable. How do you have a non-committable offer? Those Utah writers, did they use it every time a BYU guy or a guy picked BYU over Utah, then it turned into a non-committable offer? Yeah, maybe. I mean, I think that there's a very real case to be made there that that's what was happening. But as far as the term non-committable offer in quotes goes, that's a very real thing. It happens all the time. In fact, I know of a guy who has tried to commit several times to BYU over the last few months, and BYU isn't accepting that commitment because they just don't know if that's who they want in the class. So there's lots of things that go into recruiting. Offers aren't necessarily valid all the time. Sometimes it's, hey, we're going to extend you an offer. You got to commit it 72 hours. If you don't, the offer's gone. I mean, there's a lot of things. And so recruiting, that's what makes recruiting fun. And I have one last note about that Utah thing, about the Utah guys that, that throw out the non-committable offer. Here's the other thing is college football programs are uber competitive. They never want to lose, especially to their rival. And if you really get technical, most colleges know what a recruit is going to do a handful of days at least before they do it. And so if I am recruiting Joe Smith and I know that Joe Smith is going to go to Utah when he makes his decision on Friday, well, I have already moved on. I have offered John Anderson to replace Joe Smith. And if Joe Smith were to come around on Thursday and say, hey, I actually don't want to go to Utah. I want to come to you. I may have already moved on. And therefore my offer is non-committable. And I stopped recruiting Joe Smith.
Right.
In reality, I got bad information and I made a change of plans 2 days before he committed because I thought he was going somewhere else. So the idea that, yeah, well, Utah didn't want him or I didn't want Joe Smith. I guess that's technically true because at the time I did move on, but had that information that Joe Smith was going to come to my school 2 days before instead of to my rival, I would have absolutely been happy to sign Joe Smith. That happens all the time at Utah. Utah's coaches, Utah's sources are, I mean, they tell the story that Utah wants them to tell.
Right. Very much. A lot of it is more so just, let's see.
It's the reputation. It's the stupid media game. I mean, it's right. Just the reality.
It's, you got to be careful not to step on too many toes and kind of toe the party line and balance of, you want to, you know, bring the hard breaking news, but also can't be too mean because you don't want your sources to dry up and you want to still be in the know.
Let's just say it like this, Garrett. There aren't many Utah sources out there that are going to get cease and desist letters.
No, there are none.
No, they are going to walk the company line as if they are on Utah's payroll because they don't want to have their toes stepped on. They don't want to lose sources. But at Give 'Em Hell, Brigham, we're a little different, as evidenced by the cease and desist letter. We're willing to take some gambles, take some steps that maybe other people wouldn't want to take. So there we go. Hey, I do have one last thing that's, it's kind of adjacent to what we've been talking about, and that's the transfer portal as a whole. I've heard a lot of hubbub over the last few weeks about how the transfer portal is ruining college sports. And I want to talk about that because, one, there's an argument of yes, no, is it? I don't think it is. But here is my thing that I want to say today. The transfer portal did not change the behavior of these college athletes. It brought transparency into the process so that more fans are aware of who is and isn't hitting the portal. But these players were transferring all the time, no matter what. It's been happening for decades. Now, transfers are increasing, and it happens, and I truly believe it's just happen chance that it coincides with the timing of the transfer portal, but I don't necessarily think that the transfer portal is causing more transfers to happen.
I think the transfers have been increasing in general for over the last few decades, right? Like it's
I mean, high school football in 2021 is so much better than high school football in 1992. And so there are more and more high school seniors who are signing with schools with 100% expectations that they are going to play as true freshmen. And if they don't play as true freshmen, then they have no issues transferring and trying to get a waiver to play as a true sophomore.
Well, and with the availability of film being online and, you know, the cost of travel decreasing and being able to see more kids and camps being more popular and guys going to campus, you can get to see guys in person and all of those things. You have more and more kids who are going to schools far away from home where they think, oh, I want to get out there. And then they get out there and I'm like, I'm kind of homesick, or like, I don't really like it out here. This is very different. I thought I wanted to play in the Big 12 because the Big 12 was the Big 12 and I didn't want to play in the Mountain West, but I'm from, you know, San Diego and I'd rather play at San Diego State and live in California or San Jose State than be at Iowa State and live in Iowa because I just don't like being in Iowa. But I thought, you know, the allure of being in a P5 conference would make a difference. You know, there's all sorts of things like that, you know, that factor into it that just weren't a thing before. And also you have, you know, guys are connected. Like you think, you know, how fans are of like, oh, we don't really like fans of the other team, rivals, whatever. It's like players don't care about that crap the same way. And they hang out with each other. They know each other. They run in the same circles. You know, it's like, you know, you can be upset about something before back then the ladies like sending a text message, that wasn't even a thing. But now you go, it's like you follow someone and you can follow any random player and say, hey, player, I don't really like it here at Texas Tech. Tell me about what are things like at Tulsa? And guys talk to each other and are kind of like, the recruiting game is always going on behind the scenes of like, maybe they met at a camp. Maybe they played again the same district in high school. Like it's constantly going. And it is just something that is very different than it was in 1985.
Yeah, totally different. We're knocking on the 11 o'clock hour here in where I'm at. And I don't know if you can hear this through my mic. But the Air Force Base, Hill Air Force Base, is doing flyovers, whatever, right now, night training. And it feels like Desert Storm outside my window. there has been a constant jet for like the last 3 minutes flying over my house. I mean, I could see the lights is all that I could really see as they pass by. And I think there's five or six that are doing like touch and goes at the Air Force Base. It's 11 o'clock at night.
That's late. We don't usually get them. So I live smack in between two bases and like an Army base and a Marine Corps base. And they'll do some night things and it's louder. There was for a while, the Blue Angels were here training and it was like 3 days a week. They were flying low right over my house and it was loud.
Always cool. It's the sounds of freedom.
You know, it's the sounds of tax dollars being spent at an exorbitant pace.
I mean, that's one way to look at it. Other than what we have talked about, there hasn't been a ton of BYU news this week, and it feels weird. We've been crazy busy over at CougarSportsInsider.com. Please consider subscribing. I think that it's well worth the $9.99 that you will pay in a month. If you don't feel like it's worth $9.99 a month, then wait for a promotion to come up. They happen all the time where you can get 50% off for the first year and you know, come in at $4.99 a month and see if it's worth $9.99 a month. We've been crazy busy. We've been talking about the future of BYU athletics and looking at different components of the program and where it might go or what it might look like in 10 years. So it's been a busy time over at CSI, but as far as new news, there really hasn't been a ton of news. It's been a pretty quiet heart of the off season type of week. And I think we're to the point that, man, we're all going to be desperate for football news.
I'm desperate for football news.
I just want anything. I don't even care what it is at this point.
You know, I've discovered, I actually didn't realize that, was it called the Spring League? That is still a thing. How have you ever heard of that? And it's like,
yep.
I was flipping.
There's like 50 BYU players on one of the teams.
Oh, really? I'll have to look and see. But it's like weird because it's like a pay-to-play thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's a pay-to-play thing of basically there's four teams. There's eight teams now. They're doing 14. The North Division is playing in Indianapolis. The South Division is playing in Houston. And they are, it's like, you know, they're basically, it's you pay to play and get one last shot of getting some more film. And it's, I guess that's probably profitable just because you're not paying a ton of player salaries. That's the only way it can work when they have like a couple guys every year, right, that have been signed or at least gotten a camp invite. But I'm trying to see who to do. I'm looking through the rosters now because I remember there were a few BYU guys were playing. Oh, there's one Utah State. Maybe are there not any this year?
I thought that there were a bunch. I thought that like T. John and Tomasi Laulile.
I remember them doing that a couple years ago. Cy Osi Mariner is playing.
Give those guys a lot of credit for sticking to it.
Yep, there we go. Here we go. Is Manoah Pakula is playing? That's a name I have not heard in a while.
Remember when he showed up to Pro Day and was just jacked?
Yeah. What has Manoah Pakula been doing? Because his last year was in 2015.
I thought he played in the AAF. For a minute. Well, I mean, the whole league lasted about a minute. But I think he was on one of those teams.
Yeah, Tomasi Laulie. There's another guy who graduated in like 2015.
I'll never forget his touchdown against Utah State.
That was so much fun. But yeah,
that was
the
Heisman Trophy candidate.
That's all that's going now is this spring league, and they apparently have, you know, got these things going, trying to do it. There's 6 weeks in the championship, but now all their games are on Fox Sports, FS1 or FS2, and then the championship is like, or they actually have a couple on mainline Fox.
Wait. Hold on. What you're telling me is that the Pac-12 and the Spring League have the same TV contract?
No, actually, the Spring League's TV contract is better because it's on channels that people actually get. There is
spectacular.
So every week there are two games on FS1, one game on FS2, one game on mainline Fox. And that is
on mainline Fox, like big Fox,
big national Fox.
What is mainline Fox is big Fox.
Yeah.
Is it like Gus Johnson calling the game?
I don't know, but I didn't know this existed. I went to flip on last week. I went to watch the Utah Warriors, the Major League Rugby game. And they were, they were playing on FS1. And so I flipped it on and I saw the end of the spring league and I was like, what the heck? This thing is a thing now. Cause the first year I remember there, it was like, I think like Algernon Brown was playing in the first year that it was going. And it was like, they were broadcasting it themselves online. And then it was streamed on Bleacher Report was streaming it through their website. And then it was like on Twitch and whatever. Now it's like, they have this actual legit thing of like, you know, they're getting real broad TV broadcast and the quality.
That's wild.
The quality was actually, I just saw it was like, they were taking a knee, but the actual like production quality was really good. And so I was very surprised because I forgot that this thing even existed still. Cause it's like, I don't think they've
been spending really kind of joking
money on like marketing. They haven't been dropping near the marketing budget that the AAF. Right.
Yeah. Well, I was joking when I said, that they have the same TV deal as the Pac-12, but my gosh, it sounds like they have the same TV deal as the Pac-12.
It basically is. I wonder if they make more money than them.
In other news this week, I have an absolutely critical story that I can't not share with the people. I feel like it is my duty to share with the people.
We are here and we are prepared.
Where did you go on your mission? Did you go to Russia or did you go to Ukraine?
Ukraine, but then Russia has since invaded and annexed one of my areas. So,
and you spoke Russian or Ukrainian?
I spoke Russian until in my last area, there was a lot more Ukrainian. So I kind of, they speak Surgic is what it's called when you like mix the two. So it kind of got a little bit that towards the end when things got a little lazy, okay. Not lazy, but less proper. Well,
this story is going to take you back to the motherland. And I'm going to skip the headline because the headline, it feels like it takes away the punchline here. I'm just going to read it. A 224-pound Russian woman faces some heavy-duty justice for sitting on her husband and strangling him to death with her massive buttocks during a boozy dispute, a report said. Tatiana O allegedly refused to let Adar go, even as he begged for forgiveness, East to West News reported. Adar's daughter saw him pinned down on the bed and ran to seek help from the neighbors in the Russian city Novokuznetsk, according to the news outlet, which cited evidence in the case. A female neighbor who arrived reportedly decided the couple were in the midst of a domestic dispute and left. Tatiana said she merely wanted to calm her hubby down after the couple had been drinking. Adar died from asphyxia from blocking the respiratory system as his face was wedged into the mattress as Tatiana sat on his neck using her legs so he could not lift it, a medical examination found. The wife, quote, strangled husband to death with her buttocks after drinking too much alcohol, according to the report by East to West. What a story. I can relate to this woman. If I can't do much with my butt. Usually my fat butt is getting in the way of me doing physical activity. But if I could use my butt to kill something, I think I could do it. My butt is big enough that I think I could pull something like this off. They've got pictures of Tatiana and Adar. And what's shocking to me is that his butt is well beyond the size of her butt. So I don't know. He must have been plowed if he was unable to lift himself up and do something.
You know, I would have to consult with some other people on this, but if I could create a word in Russian of like to die by butt suffocation. You could create that word and it's that's a very niche thing where you're like, okay, I feel like we need like that's not something where that needs to be described. That deserves its own word.
Yeah.
I feel like it has. It can't be like, oh, I got shot or I got stabbed or like something. It's like, this needs its own. That's its own thing that needs its own specific word for something that is that unique.
Now, I do appreciate, and I think I said the New York Daily News. This is the New York Post. So for those of you who are not familiar with your New York newspapers, the New York Post is borderline National Enquirer, but they do focus on at least trying to root their stories in truth, but they're a little bit different. I enjoyed the opening line of the story. Now that we know what the story is, a 224-pound Russian woman faces some heavy-duty justice. I mean, that was well done by Yaron Steinbuch of the New York Post for throwing that teaser in before you even knew it was a teaser. Heavy-duty justice for suffocating somebody with your heavy butt cheeks.
That is legitimately the weirdest story I've ever heard in terms of someone dying.
Yeah, I mean, it feels like I had to share it. Another thing I have to share with people is George clothing brand. I bought another shirt from Walmart.
Oh,
we all know. Oh, yeah. Walmart. We're all cheap.
I'm wearing some George shorts right now, and my favorite pair of jeans are actually George. They've upped their game.
They have upped their game. I would put George up with any expensive brand of shirt that I have. I wear mostly George pants if I wear pants. Now I don't wear pants that don't have an elastic, as we established last week. But if I do wear pants, they're George brand. George, man, you can get a nice shirt for like $8.
Well, I'm wearing a pair of George khaki shorts right now. And I first grabbed them because they had them like near the front and they were on sale for like $6.97 a pair. And I was like, oh, I'm just, you know, have an extra pair of shorts on. And now I own four of the exact same pair of shorts because they're like the normal not on sale price is like $10.42 or whatever. And it's like, I don't care what happens to them. If they get dirty, like they're cheap enough that I could just avoid doing laundry and just go buy another pair. And I wouldn't think twice about it. And there's something beautiful about that.
There is. So this is your PSA as we near the end of this episode of Give 'Em Hell, Brigham. One, watch out for big buttocks because they'll get you. And two, put your big buttocks in George clothing. We're not sponsored by George or Walmart, but it feels like this is an important public duty that we have, and that is to bring to light and normalize wearing clothes from Walmart, because as we are in a world that is facing runaway inflation in just about every category, the only way that we can stand up to that inflation is to change our spending habits. So those of you Lululemon psychopaths that are spending $200 on shorts, it's time to buy George. And let's bring down the price of all of these other brands for the rest of us.
It's a community service.
It is, man. And George has proven that they're going to try to keep prices as low as they can. I buy their flannel shirts every winter. They have not increased. They have been like 10, 17 or something weird for every winter since like 2014.
Well,
and that was prior to George. That was when they were something else. They rebranded to George. But it's consistent. So buy George and do the entire economy a favor. And let's rail in some of this inflation that we're seeing.
And that's what is kind of great about it, is because like you do not care what happens to it. Like you just said, you buy a new shirt every winter. It's right. Like it's, you know, you got kids. It's like they spill on something, they take something, they, you know, something doesn't go right. And you don't have to worry about it because it's like, oh, I'll just go get a different one, whatever. Or yeah, actually, like, now they've expanded the grocery delivery that you can do the whole store now. So if you need charcoal, you can just add it to your grocery delivery and it'll show up at your house. Like you can get clothes now too. If you need clothes, you just say, oh yeah, bring me a new pair of shorts with my eggs. I need a dozen eggs, 2 gallons of milk, and 3 pairs of khakis. Bring it on and down.
A jacket. Yeah, oh, yeah. So George, man, I mean, everybody needs to buy George. And I really do think this is a public service for everybody. I'm on a very weird Reddit board. I don't even know what subreddit it is. Wacky news. And I'm just watching headlines. It's where I found this Russian woman thing. And now I'm just looking at other headlines on this board. Matthew Perry of Friends. Have you seen Matthew Perry in today?
No.
He could suffocate people with his buttocks. Chandler Bing has, he's got some substance abuse issues, but boy, he has put on some lbs.
Oh,
like the rest, like the best of us.
And
maybe he's trying to get him off. Everybody Google Matthew Perry fat and see where he was not too long ago. I mean, he has seen some stuff.
Yeah, he kind of looks like, oh, what is that dude's name? He looks like another actor, but I can't think of his name now. It'll come to me, but he looks like somebody else. But yeah, that's a mess. But I mean, it's really, I mean, we've kind of talked about it that we are well into the off season now, where I think we may have to bring, well, quarantine is over. That crap's done, right? Mm-hmm. The CDC said if you're vaccinated, you don't need to wear a mask anymore. Obviously, it's if you're on someone else's property, they have the right to ask that you wear a mask. So some stores are doing what they want to do. That's up to them. Whatever.
And if you're going somewhere that they're doing that, don't be a psychopath. Just put on the damn mask.
Right. No, if you are voluntarily going onto someone else's property, it is their rights as the leasee or owner of the property to request whatever safety measures they want on their own property. You are a guest on their premises. But
yeah, they could tell you you have to wear a purple shirt.
Just, yeah,
that's their prerogative. Right. If you don't like it, go somewhere else.
So we got to come up with a new name because Quarantine Kitchen is no longer... Quarantine Kitchen is done. Quarantine is a thing of the past. We, you know...
I have a name. Garrett, I have a submission.
Okay.
And it is inspired by our friend from Russia. Can we just call it Tatiana's Menu?
Tatiana's Menu. Adar's.
I mean, I guess Adar was no spring chicken either. But I feel like she's going to jail. Everybody knows that it was her butt that got her there. I don't think this is offensive.
I mean, Tanya was Wilden. So yeah, Tanya's the nickname for Tatiana. So, I think it's got to be something more on the brand of, like, you know, of being related to some type of alliteration, like Quarantine Kitchen was, whether it's like Cougar Kitchen or Give Them Food or, you know, something like that. I feel like it's a little bit, Tatiana's Menu is a little too far out for us because that makes it sound like we're making prison food and who wants to eat that? Like, this ain't a cafeteria. This is a gourmet restaurant.
Okay, well. I guess we agree to disagree. I might call it Tatiana's Menu no matter what we decide to officially call it, but we'll see how that goes. It's late, man. I mean, it's past 11 o'clock. It's weird. I'm buying George shirts.
I got
online.
I got like 3 hours of sleep last night. It's time for us all to go to bed. It's been a quick episode, but a good episode nonetheless. You know, it's just, if you have, maybe we need to do another, we'll do a mailbag next week and get things coming in. And we do have, actually, next week, we are going to have an interview. So if you don't follow Alex Kirby, he is a great follow. He, I don't think he's not a school teacher, but he coaches at a high school back east. And he kind of has, you know, kind of carved out a niche of being, he's a film junkie. And he released today a scouting report of the 2020 BYU offense, just going through. I mean, it's got tons of stuff. Like, if you want to know how many times, like how many times they lined up in a certain formation and what plays they ran out of that formation, he's got it all. Like, you and I both paid for it and downloaded it. It's 356 pages of content. All about it. And we're going to get him on next week for an interview, just kind of talk about the offense, what he saw, what he liked, You know, and it's obviously he's not a college coach. He's not an NFL coach. He's a high school assistant coach who does this, but he is very knowledgeable and he knows more than any of us. Right. So it's, if he gets on here, he'd be the smartest guy in the room. And he's a big crypto guy. So he fits in nicely with our brand. And so I'm excited to have Alex on.
I think it's important to really reemphasize what you just said. When you buy his stuff, it's a little expensive. I mean, it's $25 is the sticker price, and he has two different books. So you could spend upwards of $50 without a coupon code. So it's a little bit of a pricey thing. And you just download PDFs. I mean, it is a very easy thing to just send to somebody else. But I didn't send it. You didn't send it to me. I didn't send it to you. We both independently paid for this full price because it's that good. And if nothing else, this goes into that support small business vein, that support Alex and the work that he's doing. Because if you guys look at this, I promise you, it's going to scratch that football itch for a while. There is a ton of content. You're all going to pay for Phil Steele or for Athlon or something like that. And you're going to get two or three pages of BYU specific stuff and then a bunch of national content. This is 356 pages of BYU specific in-depth analysis. It really is. It's almost like you're opening up the playbook for BYU. He diagrams the plays, explains how they work, explains what the options are. It will elevate your football watching experience this fall. While obviously the playbook will be different, there will be elements that are the same, and it'll kind of take your eyes off the ball, if you will. It'll help you see what makes these plays successful. I've enjoyed it. I've only had a chance to delve into the first, 20, 30 pages of it, and I've loved it. It's going to be one that's a fun read throughout the summer.
Right. And I mean, a lot of it obviously is charting and pictures and things. So it's not like you're not reading a textbook, but it is more specific thing. Like the only thing that would have been more like that made it any more awesome is if all of the, like if he had somehow copies, and this is a copyright issue, so he couldn't do this, of like all 22 film, and when he's going, because he has the timestamp of like it was this game and it was at 12:42 left in the third quarter and they were first and seven, or second and seven on their own 32-yard line, and he's got that in there. But it's, if it could, like you could click and go to a video that was starting at that exact time, then that would be that'd make it nicer to be able to watch it. But it's, I mean, I did it today. I ended up going, I read through some of them and going through, going back to the Houston game. I went back and watched the highlight of the Houston game, and you see things, and it's, things that you don't notice because you're not looking for them, but it will help you. I promise, if you get this and spend the time reading through it and then going through and, clicking and looking up on YouTube and finding the time where like the play when it happened, you will be more educated as a fan, and it will be more enjoyable if you to watch games because you have more things to look at and will appreciate the design of it. Because the things that this offensive staff put together in terms of what they're doing with the jet sweep and it not being a gimmick, like it is not a gimmick. There is a very real element to it of that is a facet of moving guys and creating opportunities and seams to go where you want to go, especially in the run game. And it makes a difference. And once you start to see those things, everything becomes a lot more clear and a lot more enjoyable.
Without question. So we're going to get him on next week, but check out what he did. Yeah. We'll post a link in the show notes. Check it out because it will be well worth your time.
It will be well worth your time. And you and I both posted the link this morning. Go out and you can post it again. Go find it, or we'll post a link to it again. And I'm excited to get Alex on here next week. And it's been a good episode, Jeff. And until next week, give him hell.
Give him hell.